Well, this last few weeks we've been talking a lot about we are the church, and of course this is the day where the church was birthed in a sense, when Jesus rose from the dead. It's Resurrection Sunday. Acts chapter 2, of course, the church exploded, but this is when things started to move, the greatest day in history. When all seemed lost, Jesus had a perfect plan, and his people were just to trust. And even today, we're to trust him, because sometimes it's not perfect, eh? Sometimes you're like, Lord, what is really going on? But as we trust him and have faith, suddenly we get to see so much clearer and so much better. Well, today we're going to talk about Easter. I want us to pray before we do, and I'm going to believe that the Lord is going to touch our hearts. Lord, I thank you for every person. I pray, Lord, wherever we're watching from, whatever way we're listening, give us hope, give us life, and let us never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. The first question I want us to think about today is, when did you meet Jesus? You know, we can read the stories, we can, reminisce over all the years of all the great things that God has done, but sometimes, maybe every once in a while, we've got to remind ourselves, when did you meet Jesus? I hope that you've already met him. For me, I remember meeting him probably as a really, really young kid, but then properly around 9, 10, 11, starting to really become aware that there was a person called Jesus. But he really started to impact my life around 17, 18. And of course, since that, I've become so much more aware of him, so much more in love with him, so much more aware of his love, his grace, his forgiveness. And it has changed my life forever. But what about you? When was the first time you met him? What was it like? What was it like when you met him, to know his forgiveness, to know his grace? Maybe you've never met him. Well, today, why not meet him? Why not say hello to him? Why not experience his love, his grace, and forgiveness? There's never been anyone like him. And although Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, it says in heaven, the Holy Spirit is here, the presence of God. And he has a personality. He's just like Jesus. In fact, all he ever wants to do is tell people about Jesus. And so I really want to talk about Jesus today. I want to talk about Easter. I want to tell you about the good news of Easter and all that has been achieved. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week. This is the Sunday. You know, Friday was, we call it good, but it wasn't good back then. And then Saturday was that in-between day of like, what's happening? What's really going on? And for many of us in our lives, we have the bad days, and then we have the what's going on days. And then hopefully you get to a day where you meet Jesus. And this was the day the early disciples were going to meet Jesus. It's the Sabbath. Dawn, the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. They fully expected to go to the tomb, the stone would be there, and that would be it. And they weren't sure. They remember Jesus said something about resurrection, but they weren't quite sure if it was going to happen. Look what it says in verse 2. There was a violent earthquake. Wow. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Wow, just this earthquake happened. This angel comes down, rolls the stone back and says, okay, here it is. Check out this tomb. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who is crucified, but he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Wow. I mean, this is the moment when Jesus is now fully divine again, isn't he? He's able to pass through walls. He's supernatural in all his ways. He's no longer the earthly Jesus. He's somehow the different Jesus, maybe the full Jesus that we expect and the full one that we know in terms of the creator of the universe. And here they come to the tomb. They come to see Jesus. And sometimes we come to the places that we expect, and maybe the place that we've been before or the place that we know is going to be like a certain way. And then we get there and it's all different. And on this day, they came to see a tomb with a stone, and they wondered about Jesus and resurrection, but I'm not sure they fully got it. But when they come, it's an earthquake, it's an angel, and an empty grave. What an incredible moment. And I guess there's shock, but I think there's also like this tiny bit of excitement, like, oh my goodness, maybe this thing happened. And of course it did. But what a moment. Earthquakes, angels, empty tombs. He's alive. He's not here. And the angel talks to you. It's like, what an introduction. You know, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday a week prior, he rode in just as almost like a lowly king on a donkey's colt. And now he's got angels opening tombs. He's got earthquakes to impact. And he's walking out of places, just walking right through buildings. It's like it can't hold him anymore. Suddenly he is the Jesus we all expected. But he's got a message for the disciples. He's got a message that he wants that Mary and the other Mary to pass on. And it's this message of, do you remember what I said to the disciples? It was, they're to meet me in Galilee. Remember what I told you way back a few days ago that you're going to desert me, and we said we wouldn't desert you? Well, I said at the end of the message, don't forget to meet me in Galilee. And for the disciples, they had deserted Jesus. They really weren't sure what was going on. They'd followed him for 3.5 years. But maybe a bit like us, sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we find ourselves other places. And now they're way off. And the last place they want to meet is Jesus in Galilee. In fact, they're heartbroken. They're probably a tiny bit bitter. They're a tiny bit confused. And they have not a clue what's going on. But the angel speaks. He says, go quickly and tell the disciples. He has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. See, this is important because Jesus said, I've not come just to start a mission and then end a mission. I've come to start a mission that will go all the way to the second coming. Remember, Jesus said, I'm coming once and then I'll come again. And he has come once and he has defeated sin, defeated death, and he's defeated the grave. He's given us a brand new start. It means today for anyone who's lost or never known Jesus, if you would ask him, Romans 10:13 says, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. But that's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Because he says, one day, really soon, I will come back. And this time, I'll come back and I'll bring everybody with me to a new heaven and a new earth. And so he is coming back. And he had a mission for these disciples. And he says, guys, I know you've sort of let me down. I know you've got distracted. I know you've deserted me. But don't forget, there is a mission ahead. And so Jesus said, don't forget, through the angel, to meet me at the place we're going to meet in Galilee. And this is not just a tiny way off. This is quite a bit away. But he said, I don't want to meet in this city. I want to meet in Galilee. We've got a mission. We're going to discuss some things. We're going to plan some things. And we're going to get on with the Father's business, because this is not the end, which we thought it could have been, because they had lost a bit of hope. They had been a bit discouraged. They'd seen all that went on. Just put yourself in their shoes as their early disciples. Jesus had promised so much, and now suddenly you've seen him beaten to smithereens, flesh coming from him. You've seen him poked in the side. You've seen the oil, the water, and the blood come out. He's dead, past dead. It's unbelievable. And now suddenly he's in the tomb. Of course it's all over, but it wasn't. Because he was able to resurrect. He was able to bring transformational life. And so Jesus said, don't forget to meet me. We're here to change the world. And maybe for us today, we have to remind ourselves, you might have accepted Jesus or not. If you have, remember, you're here to change the world. If you haven't accepted Jesus, remember, you're here to change the world. The cross is not the end, it's only the beginning. And suddenly now we get new life and we're able to receive him and we're able to step into all the plans and purposes that God has for us. You see, we've got a meeting place. He's calling you back today. He was calling them back today. I know you've went away. I know you've deserted me. I know you find yourself in a different place. But I need you to come meet with me, because we've got plans together. You see, what I love about God is that we don't discourage him. He's not, his relationship with us is not based on how we perform or what we say or what we do. He's so kind. He's so generous that he simply says, don't forget. Remember, there's a second chance, a third chance. Remember, we're meeting here because I've got great plans for your life. And it's not dependent on you. It's based on what I've already done or what Jesus had just done in that moment. We've got plans. We're here to bring change. And so my heart for you today is, don't stay defeated. Maybe you find yourself in a place of defeat and discouragement. And you say to yourself, well, I'm not sure I'm ready for this thing. I feel like I've let God down. I feel like I'll not be able to come through. I feel like it won't matter. I'm telling you, your life matters. You matter. You've got purpose. You've got plans. And God says, I need every single one of you. And just in the same way as you matter that I would die for you, you matter for the mission. And we've been called to a mission. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went, because of course one deserted, Judas, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, wow, what a moment this would be. When they saw him, after all the doubt, after all the worry, after all the heartache, after they saw him, they worshiped him. But They're real. Some doubted. Some worship, some doubt. Isn't it amazing that God's comfortable with that? He's comfortable with your worship. He's comfortable with your doubt. In fact, there's nothing really wrong with it. We give Thomas a hard time, but I tell you what, he was just being real. Sometimes we have doubts. God, will you really answer? God, are you really real? Is this whole thing a fraud? Come on, we all think those thoughts. There are days where we're bursting at the seams with the life of Jesus and we're flying in the things of God. And then there are other days where we're like, is this thing even real? Here's the disciples. He's fully resurrected. They can see the nail prints in his hands. They can see the scars in his feet. They can see the scar in his side. And yet they worship and they doubt. It's totally fine. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, but I need you to know this. All authority in heaven is now mine. I have complete authority. God has given me complete authority. The last bit of authority that I needed to take up was death itself. I've now taken it. I own death. Think about that just for a moment. Jesus owned death. Death tried to own him, but now Jesus owns death. So even death is not a stumbling block to the believer. It's just a passing through. It's just a doorway to the next life. It's just a transition from one place to the next place, but it is not defeat. Jesus has already defeated death. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you're with us in the flesh on Easter Sunday, which you may not be if you're watching this, at the 12 p.m. service, we are doing baptisms where people are literally saying, I belong to Jesus and I want the world to know, and so I'm ready to get baptized. And baptism's this beautiful picture of death to life. In the same way as Jesus went fully into the grave and fully into the tomb and then completely came out, we do the same as believers in Christ. We are fully submerged in water to resemble his death, to be sent to say, I'm fully submerged in death, but then I came fully back to life because of what the Lord has done. Verse 20, it says, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus has absolute power. And he's saying, today, church, I've given it to you. All the authority I have, I release it to you. You see, it's incredible whenever you meet someone who has authority and then they say, I've given it to you. If they give it to you, you've got it. You've never earned it. You maybe have not achieved anything for it. But if he has given it to you, you have received it. And so Jesus says, I've given you authority today, which means what you speak counts, what you say counts, what you do counts, what you think counts, the places where you go counts, because you are significant and I have put significance on your life. You see, the cross was a perfect plan, but it entailed an awful lot of highs and lows. The problem was the people weren't perfect. And I want to say to you that we live in this world where we say to ourselves, well, I want things to be perfect. I want things to follow through. God's the only one that's perfect. He had a perfect plan. Even when it looked like Jesus was defeated, he was not. He was at the perfect place in the perfect will of God. And God's inviting us to come into his will, even though we're not perfect. And when it seems like all is lost, don't be discouraged. There is a plan in place, and it's perfect because God is perfect in all his ways. He's so incredible and he's so good that he chooses to work with us, even though you're not. And so I feel like the Lord just saying, don't be discouraged if your life has looked amazing for 10 years and then terrible for 5. Don't be discouraged if your life has been amazing for 20 years and then suddenly you've lost your way in the things of God. It does not matter. What matters is today and where is our heart with Jesus. Today, what matters is, are we saying yes to him? Are we following him? You see, the disciples deserted him after 3.5 years. They walked with Jesus. And even when they saw him, they still doubted, because this whole thing is by faith. It's not by your performance. It's by faith. And so I wonder today, when we look at ourselves, we have to remind ourselves that we are the A team. And you're like, what? We are the A team? We must be the D or the E or maybe the U team. But Jesus says, no, you are the A team because of what I've spoken over your life. There's identity on you. There's authority on you. There's purpose on you. And there are my dreams upon you. And so this is hope for us all. And the final few things as we finish, he makes the difference. We come as we are. This is so important. He makes the difference. You come as you are. And then he brings transformation. You see, perfect plans don't exist. So we trust God. So when it doesn't work out the way we hope and it doesn't work out the way that we plan, don't be dismayed or discouraged and don't give up on your faith. It's at those moments we pursue and step deeper into our faith because we simply trust when it makes no sense. He transforms me. Aren't you so glad that God transforms you and I allow him to do it? And this is the key. I'm not trying to transform myself. We live in a world where you've got to transform yourself, and people win some days and then lose terribly the next days. Seems to cost you time, seems to cost you money, seems to cost you relationships, health, all those different things. God says, when I transform you, I do it. You simply allow me to do it. And then finally, he leads my life. You see, what I love about the disciples is even though we were discouraged, even though they weren't fully sure of the plan, when they got the word from Mary, they decided to go and they met Jesus in Galilee. Even when they're unsure, they continue to trust him by faith. And then this motley crew, those 11 guys, become the guys who's literally transformed the world. Because in Acts chapter 2, it says that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And we'll look at that in about a month's time on Pentecost Sunday. And they go and they transform the world. They were God's A team. They were God's plan A, and you are exactly the same. We look around and we see so many other pictures of this. You got to have this, you got to have that. God says, I take you the way you are, and I transform you. I make the difference. I have the perfect plans, and I lead your life. We simply follow. Come on, we're going to pray today. And I want to encourage you that if you don't know Jesus, that you would put your trust in him. If you don't know Jesus, you would give him your life. If you don't know Jesus, you would give him your sin. And you would say, Jesus, I need you to take this from me because I can't do it myself. And so as we come, maybe you're far from God, come back to him. And if you know him, come on, let's charge our lives to say, I'm not just here for me. I'm here to go into all the world. This is just the start of the mission, not the end. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I pray for those that don't know you, that they would put their trust in you. I know it seems crazy. I know it seems completely mad. But this is the best news the world has ever seen. There's never been another event in history that's ever been as important and ever been proven as much as this one. All the evidence is there. All the facts are there. All the things are there. But yet when it all comes down to it, it comes down to faith. Simple faith. Will we put our faith in Jesus? And I say he's worth putting your faith in. Lord, will you bless people that are listening today? Bless people that are watching today. I pray that if we would say yes to Jesus, our lives would be completely different and our sins would be forgiven. Lord, I pray you would touch every heart, touch every life. I pray for those that are far, come close again. And I pray for those that know you, that we realize that the cross was just the beginning, not the end. We are now on a mission. Our sins were defeated at the cross, but our lives were kickstarted at the cross. And so, Lord, I pray for people that will go in might and power, because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Lord, bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen.